WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flap with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
I remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know what it means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use Creator Code Rock, second for an item shop, or Epic Games Store, because hashtag Epic Partner. The champ is heel now. No one saw that coming. Or maybe they did. We'll talk about it as we talk at WWE Elimination Chamber. Anyway, I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Cody's time is up. His time is now. We couldn't see it. His time is now.
His time is now. And they just threw it in front of our faces all weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, the funny thing is, if you go back and you look at shit and... as was touched on in the post-show, things were there.
It's all in front of our face. We just we didn't just pick up on it.
You sons of bitches!
Good of that. But we also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Hang on a second. Wardrobe malfunction.
The song
all right,
playing.
Yeah.
Hold on, Tim, before you go. It doesn't work on radio. The song was Poppy, New Way Out, the official theme song of Elimination Chamber.
Yeah,
Corey Graves.
That was from somebody. So, yeah, we're here to talk about Elimination Chamber tonight.
So, stuff happened on this show. It started off with a surprise return of one Jade Cargill right before the women's elimination chamber match. Thoughts?
My favorite part about this is, so they bring all the women out, and we're just kind of like, all right, here we go. They're going to start off hot with the women's chamber. And right as they're going to, like, get it going, you hear Jade's song, and you just see Naomi turn to Bianca real quick. And you get the camera shot on Liv Morgan, looking like, you know, her life is flashing before her eyes. Which, to be fair, Liv sold the shit out of that moment.
She did.
Like, her lip quivering and just, no, don't come here, no. And then she gets in the ring and you see, like, again, Liv fully selling out for this, like, oh god, I know I'm gonna die. And then she takes that run at Naomi, and we're just like, well, that happened. And the best part about it was it all happened in front of Bianca's pod. And so you just saw her go absolutely apeshit trying to get out. And then Jade did a fantastic beatdown of Naomi from pillar to post.
She did.
The other good part about this was the selling from everyone else in the match of that beatdown. Like, you see Bayley looking like, oh my god, what just happened? Because, I mean, Naomi's her friend still. And, I mean, in theory, one extra competitor has just been removed from the match. But it's still just like, not like this. And then Alexa sold like a champ as well, just sitting there dumbfounded of what happened.
They did a great job.
They did really well telling that story.
Do you agree, Tim?
That was absolutely fantastic. Exactly everything they did. And yeah, walking straight towards Liv and then swerving left and taking Naomi out.
And the whole thing about this is Jade isn't necessarily a heel in this because we don't know what the story fully is.
Not yet, we don't.
Right. Is it Naomi attacked her? Is it Jade blames Naomi for them losing the tag titles? There's a couple of different ways you can go with this.
Well, there's a few more. Is it actually Bianca and Naomi? And Bianca hasn't been able to, or it hasn't been able to be established yet.
Mm-hmm.
If she had anything to do with it. Because there's that speculation, too.
Oh, yeah.
That it was both Bianca and Naomi. So,
or was it even Naomi and it's Jade sending a message to Bianca that she's going to take out Naomi to get to Bianca? They have that story as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's also that. So there are a bunch of different ways this could go. And the women's chamber opening solidified my interest in the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It just set me. I was like, okay, fuck, hurry up! Like, what's happening? What's going on? Inquiring minds need to know.
And then after all that, the women put on a pretty good chamber match.
It was quite enjoyable. And of course, when Bianca coming out looking like she wanted to get out of the chamber led you to believe she probably wasn't invested in the match enough to win.
I will fully admit, I messaged Rock during the show. The beatdown happened, and I said, well, that pretty much, you know, takes care of Bianca's chances for this. And Rock just instantly replied, you sure?
You sure about that one? You sure? Are you sure?
Lo and behold, the rest of the match happened, and I went, well, okay. Well,
okay, that happened.
Well, no, it's because for me, I looked at this as, I explained to Rock this as well. To me, if everything's building towards WrestleMania, the bigger match that was going to happen, in my opinion, was a possible three-way between Naomi, Bianca, and Jade, where it could have been Jade and Naomi were going to try and go for each other, and Bianca was just going to try and essentially play mediator in the match. Like, well, I'm here to make sure that you two don't kill each other because I care about you both.
Yeah, but
I don't think necessarily Jade versus Naomi is a Mania match. Is it a SmackDown before Mania match? Sure, but I when we're talking about like some of the matches that are going to be in place for WrestleMania, and I went Jade versus Naomi is how I feel about that.
Well, I'm less pessimistic about the potential. It would definitely be an undercard match on, most PLEs. But I could see it actually fitting on one of the WrestleMania nights if this is what they're planning. It would definitely be a main event headline match on SmackDown. Because of the storyline itself, I think.
And that's the indecision because there are only so many spots on WrestleMania and you have two nights, but you have all this talent, men and female, to get on the show. So it's like, will it probably end up on Mania? Probably. But it might not get the time it would necessarily get if you did put it on SmackDown as a main event the night before.
Right.
Yeah, if they do have it at Mania, my thinking is it's going to be a 10-minute non-finish.
See, and the thing for me is I think it's going to be a Mania match simply because it's Jade. And I think they really want to showcase her, which is what we've seen of her essentially in her time on the main roster.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think I think part of that is that, like, sending a message to those AEW talents of, like, hey, look what we're doing with some of these people. We're, you know, elevating them. We're giving them the chances in case there are the people who want to jump ship.
Yeah. Well, the ending of the Women's Elimination Chamber match initially made me think that Bianca is innocent in this whole thing. And then I started thinking about it. But we'll talk about that immediately after we finish going through Elimination Chamber and talk about the winner.
So Bianca ends up winning, which was, the smart choice. You had Liv, who had a hell of a outing in the match, and had the bruises to prove it the next day.
That hair whip. That resonated.
That was three times worse than what she gave Sasha.
But did you see her picture she posted today of all the bruises from the match?
No. I did not see the picture of the bruises. I just saw the welts and everything as it was fresh near the end of the match as she was winding down her time in the ring. And that was pretty severe enough just to look at that.
Well, and the funny thing is So WWE has done the more, we've talked about this for the past couple PLEs, they've done the more sports presentation, and when Liv came out, they put up, like, her accolades on the little sidebar. So it was all the stuff they had, and then there was the one thing that got pointed out amongst all of that I kind of went, oh shit, really? So Liv, I believe, has competed in either all of them or all but one of, like, the Royal Rumbles for the women, right?
Yeah.
She has competed in the most Elimination Chambers for the women as well at 6.
Yep.
And it's one of those things where you start to go, wait, really? Liv has been in all 6? And you just realize, like, she is a really good performer. God damn. And she's probably going to end up getting paired with another person who's going to be a really good performer for some form of Mania match, is my guess. Because Liv eliminated someone.
Well, dive into it.
And I think we're either going to get Alexa going for the tag belts with someone, or we get straight up Alexa versus Liv somehow. And if that's the case, I'm not complaining.
Watching Alexa in that ring was fun.
Or you do sort of a mixed tag situation where you have multiple men and women involved, like from a family of 6 and a judgment day, and you do some sort of
a judgmental family of 6.
Some sort of battle there.
Unless Finn is going to be somehow involved in the IC title picture, because was alluded to earlier.
Yeah, there's many possibilities, but in the main chat, there's the picture of all the bruises. If you haven't seen,
Al, look at her arms, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, she got beat up pretty good, but Bianca said at WrestleMania, she had a stare down with Rhea and Io after the match because Io and Rhea battle tomorrow night on Raw.
I like Rhea just walks out with the belt and it's just kind of like, all right, so this is how it's gonna be. And then Io just walks out and was just like, bitch, don't forget I'm here.
I'm here too.
Yeah. I'm eyeballing both of y'all. And, like, there was that great kind of stare down between the three of them of, yeah, it could be one-on-one. It could be a three-way. We don't know. It all depends on what happens tomorrow night. Things could be interesting for Mania season.
Things really could. Really good show. We also had on this show Trish Stratus teaming up with Tiffany Stratton, taking on Nia and Candace.
And Trish was looking really good last night. I'm not being puerile. I'm talking wrestling-wise, by the way.
She put in the work.
I like their matching gear with the numbers on the back.
A little less obvious with Tiffany, but she all of her gear was covered in blue maple leaves all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
They mentioned that they were playing tribute to the Jays and the Maple Leafs. Yeah.
Maple Leafs and the Blue Jays. Yep.
So, thoughts on the match?
It was a good, solid match between all four of them.
It was good enough to be on this, pretty much just about any PLE.
I will say, while I was watching the match, I was very happy for Candace, because it's one of those things of Candace doesn't get a lot of shine on some of these bigger shows, unless it's like a Royal Rumble where you have a lot of people competing in it, and then it's like, oh yeah, she gets involved with, you know, a 30,000 person crowd, but with this, she was able to just be out there, you know, in a very limited capacity, getting her due, which is great for her considering, you know, the length and the breadth of the career that she's had.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tiffany was able to kind of, she's starting to take some more of those steps of like being one of the top talents on the women's division.
Uh-huh.
And I messaged Rock earlier, you know, you can tell the company has a lot of faith in her because during the show, yeah, she had her own commercial too.
She did.
What was it? TurboTax?
TurboTax, yep. So you and it's know, just, go ahead.
But I was going to say, it's one of those things of like, yep, she, you know, you can tell that it's someone that they want to put some effort behind because it's like, not everyone gets those commercials. And if you do, you've probably either been there a while or they think very highly of you.
So you noticed something at the end.
Yeah, Tiffany was directing Trish a little bit with her foot.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
Trish was knocked down in the corner, and there was the spot with Candace was going to get flipped over, so she tried to nudge Trish over with her foot. Still was a very close call for that backdrop over the top rope. And then again, Trish was still in the corner, and she's kind of like, no, move, I'm going to be doing the moonsault. And then realized, oh, Nia's set up in a different way. So she went to the other corner to do the moonsault.
Yeah, Nia missed her mark.
Well, I mean, luckily, it's with the moonsault, it just needs to be like, okay, just lay in one spot, and we can work with whatever corner.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
But the thing that got me for this entire match was the fact that Tiffy pinned Nia. And when you look at the four people in this match, I thought it was going to be, okay, Tiffany will pin Candace because Candace can eat that fall. They still get the win over the team. I didn't think it was going to be Nia who ate that, and it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, they did that to help legitimize the strength of Tiff as the champion.
Oh, no, I get that. But I thought it was just going to be, legitimacy was going to be, oh, you beat Nia and Candace. I didn't think it was going to be straight up, you got one over on Nia. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yep. And that could potentially lead to a little bit of back and forth, verbal back and forth between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they've completely finished with Nia in the hunt to regain her title. So not just yet, anyway.
Nia will always kind of hang out there being the big monster of the group. You know, she's always going to be considered, quote, a credible threat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think of course, for the next 7 weeks, the focus is going to be purely on Tiffany and Charlotte, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You build up that big match, and then, yeah, it's what happens after. You know, who gets that first crack at whoever the next champ, or whoever the champ is, coming out of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get Nia versus Tiffany on one of the overseas SmackDowns for the title.
I could see that.
What is the next Crown Jewel?
November 2nd.
Were they not in Saudi before then?
They're in one time this year, three times next year.
Oh, okay. I misheard an ad for it last night then.
Yeah. They were doing just the celebration or whatever it was called. The
yeah, and in the celebration, you saw one little quick little November 2nd. So that's the current plan as of now. Could change, but that's the plan because they're getting Rumble and then a normal too. So that's where we're at. Kevin, Sammy,
God damn it, you two.
They lived up to exactly every expectation that we posited a week ago. And then some.
Those two went out there to beat the shit out of each other, and god damn it, they did a great job. Now, I will say this. There's one thing I've seen on the internet about this match. Everyone bitching and moaning about the fact that there was no color in this match.
Didn't need it.
The reason you didn't get it was because you needed it for the bigger story. If you had it here, it would have lessened what happened later. I get the fact of a barbed wire steel chair, more times than not, was going to cause people to get color.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't look too closely at the barbed wire wrapped around the chair.
also the guy taking the chair shot was wearing a shirt, so...
Yeah. Well, I think for most people it was the drop toe hold onto the chair.
Yeah, and I think if you look closely...
Because it was a face first.
Yeah, I think he tried to get some blood off of Al, but nothing sort of happened.
Well... And the other thing I will say about this is when it comes to WWE, a lot of the color that you have seen people get recently has not been the usual, like, blade job. Like, for Drew McIntyre, the color he got was because the corner of a toolbox hit him on the top of the head and busted him open the hard way.
For what, 20 staples?
Yeah, and that was, like, it came down good. Now, Punk, on the other hand, sure. Cut himself. But a lot of the other stuff that you see when people get busted open has been more like, okay, that probably wasn't supposed to happen, but we're going to run with it.
And that's the way it should be.
Right. And as opposed to, you know, other places where someone sneezes and all of a sudden there's just blood everywhere.
And you watch them do it live on camera on the
gig. Oh, look, or the camera cuts away for 5 minutes while the person, you know, gets himself.
Yeah,
as we've seen with like MJF. But with this, the match itself, like Tim said, didn't need the color, and it still told an amazing story between these two of like they're gonna beat the high holy hell out of each other because they know it's the only way the other is going to stop.
And you absolutely had to love the homage to the fact that they were in Canada with one of the weapons pulled out of the ring, out from under the ring.
My favorite thing was, so Kevin gets the hockey stick, he puts a cross face on Sammy, and then proceeds to bite him on the nose. Just to show how vicious he was, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this so it looks awful, and then while that's happening, I'm going to bite your forehead and your nose, and you had the fans around there, like, essentially calling him, like, a sick bastard for it.
Yep.
But it was great because you had those moments, it's like, they touched on the fact of, like, yeah, these guys fought in Ladder War as El Generico and Kevin Steen. That's right, you had an ROH reference here, folks. But it was talking all about the history of, like, yeah, these guys have fought each other. But for this match, and especially nice touch for the non-sanctioned match of they lowered the lights, so it was just on them.
People had complained about that, and they also had the referee not wearing a referee shirt.
That was the one thing I loved, was the referee was just out there in the black shirt with the gloves on, and he just had the look on his face like, god damn it, I don't want to be here. Like, this is just going to be awful. And then you had poor Charles Robinson, who took one for the team. All he went out there to do was count at three.
He's good at taking the bumps that need to be taken by a ref.
Oh, yeah. And Kevin just laid that clothesline in, too. But, yeah, you had the first ref get taken out due to a haluva kick. You had Charles come in. And then you had the third ref who came in. And I think it was either Cole or Pat McAfee were just like, what the hell are you doing out there? You just saw what happened. But yeah, it was a good story they told between here, and like, it took everything from Kevin to put Sammy down, and then there was some extracurriculars that happened as well.
Yeah. Kevin Owens.
Well, Sammy needs a couple weeks off anyway, so
Kevin gets the win. So and then he was like, "You're leaving," and then comes back for more revenge.
Puts the chair around his neck and slams it into the pole twice. I will say, good job on Sami Zayn for helping Kevin with a spot. the second attempt at the apron powerbomb, mm-hmm. Kevin didn't quite get Sammy to the point that he needed to, but I thought Sammy covered well with like that last barrage that he gave Kevin, because it showed the fight that Sammy had. Like, you know, yeah, he's not just going to take these moves. He's going to give Kevin every little ounce he had, and then it let Kevin set up proper for that second mm-hmm. full attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin then pulls up the mat. Looks like he's going to pile drive Sami Zayn into...
Ooh, I hear voices.
The concrete. And then out came Randy Orton in wrestling gear.
I love the look on Kevin's face. He just... Oh, fuck, this is happening. He realized he called out... He realized the error of his ways when he... when he pile drove Randy a couple of weeks ago.
Months Never ago. Should have done that, buddy.
It's been months at this point.
Pissed off the Viper.
He did. And then we learned a move could be coming back. After the RKO, you know, we thought to do something with the chair. Oh, no.
A little bit of a tease.
He would look. Punt. All he was doing was try to pay homage to Pat McAfee, who was sitting at the table. Okay,
mm-hmm. And everyone was ready for the punt. And you saw the look on everyone's face, and then he's like shaking out the leg and gets set up, and then it was beautiful. So everyone just ran in to stop it.
Like five producers just jump in front of him. No,
so I think well-timed. I recognized a couple of local Toronto wrestlers dressed up as security too.
Who all
taking the RKO.
Yeah.
Well, there was that. What was it? It was Jordan, Dykstra, Helms,
Petey.
Petey Buck. Was out there.
Peppa.
Yeah. They had the who's who of agents out there to try and stop Randy.
So, yeah, Randy's back now.
I mean, it is WrestleMania season, so.
It is, in fact, WrestleMania season.
He's working that Shawn contract, so it's time to put in his couple of weeks.
And then we had the men's elimination chamber match.
Which surprised some people until we realized what was probably going to happen.
Yep.
Because we kept hearing, the segment was going to happen before, what was it, Kevin and Sammy?
Yeah, it was listed as middle to throw people off.
So yeah, there was that, and we were like, oh, okay, so Kevin and Sammy's going on now. Well, the segment's going to happen after this match. It'll be the thing that's going to set up the chamber. And then the chamber came on, and we all went, okay. Oh, shit, if this thing's coming on last, it's going to be big.
It's a big angle. It was not just, oh, he turns him down and then eats a rock bottom or something. Oh, no, it was much bigger.
Yeah. Well, and I had messaged you. I was like, if they're doing this, there's going to be a lasting image at the very end of the night, because that's usually what they end a show with, is like someone pointing to the WrestleMania sign or something like that. And it was like, we got that moment, all right.
It was a lasting. It was a lasting image, but not pointing to the WrestleMania sign.
No.
A little bit of a different lasting image last night.
It was. You can do the face in chat now if it's an emote. So enjoy that. but the men went at it. CM Punk had a light that was falling down repeatedly.
Yeah, something happened in that pod. I don't know if it was when Bianca was like slamming the thing or whatever, but that pod at some point lost the overhead LED light. And I noticed at least two, if not three times, the camera's focusing on the ring and you can see Punk trying to put it back up in the right spot.
Velcro got pulled up.
Does he get extra pay for being a production and a talent for this show?
Yes.
Oh, double pay. All right.
He gets paid extra for being a lighting tech, yeah.
He didn't even have to wear the blazer.
So what do we think of the match?
I thought this match did well setting up the angles that were possible for WrestleMania from it.
The angles that we're definitely going to get.
Yeah, we got that moment where you had Cena, you know, get into the match and have his run, and then out of nowhere, Drew hit that Claymore. And it's like he let his guard down for just that split second. And that's when Damian came in and got the pinfall on him. And then you had Drew, in typical fashion, lose his shit and took out Damian to set up their match.
Yep. And if you're not looking forward to a Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre match, you're an idiot. Well, just with what little what they were able to give us last night has me champing, like, okay, bring it on. Take my money. I want to see this.
Well, and we've seen hints of it throughout this past year because, of course, remember, Damian got his first title off of Drew.
Yeah.
That good old second cash-in at WrestleMania. But it's like, at least with that, they're going to be able to tell the good story and go from there. You got Logan being a complete douche, which is what his role was.
Logan Paul was being Logan Paul. That's the best way you can put it.
Yeah, but you got, like, CM Punk beating the shit out of him for everyone to love. You got Seth, you know, beating the hell out of him. You got Cena, who hit AA to eliminate him. You got everything you wanted to out of that.
Yeah.
Seth gets to keep his storyline going with CM, which is not Company Man Punk, as we all thought could be a possibility. Mm-hmm. But I do love that one moment where you had John in the ring, you had Punk get into the ring.
Yeah, I'm not shaking your hand. Come here.
No, well, if you read the mouth, John goes, "I missed you." And Punk goes, "I missed you too." And they walk up, and John, puts the hand out, and Punk's like, "Nah, brah." Gives them the big old hug, and then they just start beating the hell out of each other.
Yep.
Which then played a factor later where he goes in for the handshake again, then eats the GTS.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of handshakes, we'll talk about this for the next segment. Someone should never do a handshake again because it just never ends well for him. I've seen video proof of all of this.
Yeah, we'll talk about that for the final segment.
Yeah, so we saw the finale, which was Seth had been eliminated. Punk ends up on the ropes. Seth delivers the stomp to Punk. And in what we can look back now upon and see, John at this chance immediately grabs CM Punk and puts him in what I would say is one of the snuggest STFs I've seen from him.
He's never put it on that snug before.
No, it was never. It's usually the crossface. John applied a sleeper with it now. And what was interesting about this was the fact of we didn't have a Punk tap out. We had Punk pass out.
We had Mr. GTS go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I have absolutely no critique or problems or qualms at all with how they set up the ending for John to win this thing. No complaints. I think they did it right.
A desperate man doing desperate things.
Yeah, John has stated he wanted to be at WrestleMania. He thinks it's best for business for him to go for the title. So in this moment, if someone puts Punk down and you have that chance, it's shit, scramble, go for it.
Yeah, but at the same time, you had Punk pull the Steve Austin passing out rather than tapping out.
Yeah, and the interesting thing was, if you watch Seth, he was sitting there, like, giddy that Punk lost, but there was still a interesting look in his eye after that moment as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was happy that he screwed Punk, but at the same time, it was like, I don't know if it was, like, a little bit of regret that hit him, or what, but he had this, like, pensive look to him at some point, right after that, like, sinister smile that they caught on the one picture. So, I don't know how that's going to play out, but Seth, I have a feeling...
Yeah, I was just going to say, to add to it, the whole vibe is, oh, shit, I just opened up a can of worms.
Well, yeah, we've got Seth and Punk now, who are going to be at each other's throats. And don't forget, we still have a OTC who may have something to say about that as well.
Yep.
And that was the Elimination Chamber. Nothing else happened on that show.
I wouldn't say that exactly.
Well, I mean, Cena was sitting there celebrating in the ring, and a song played, Rock. I forgot a song played.
Oh, right, yeah. the adrenaline in his soul.
Yep, out came Cody.
Cena welcomes him into the ring, and then they're like, yeah, you know, it's me and you for the title of WrestleMania. We're going to have the thing. We're going to do the thing. Then another song hit, and then another song hit.
I was going to say, the first song hit, and everyone kind of went, huh? And we all remembered, oh, wait, Travis Scott had been advertised for Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, you got the If You Smell, then the Travis Scott, and then the rock music continued, and then Final Boss came out, ready to go, and open arms. And then...
He wants it all.
Give me all, every hit. I need it. And then Cody's like, I'll give up my soul, but I gave it up a long time ago, and then Rock, go fuck yourself.
He dropped go fuck yourself, and the entire crowd lost their shit at that word.
Oh, yeah, I posted on X. That one moment on its own opened up the roof of Rogers Center. It's a retractable roof there.
Yeah.
I watched, like, people's reactions in, like, you know, they were out at bars watching this or something. And, like, the entire place lost their collective goddamn mind when he said, go fuck yourself.
Because it was impactful. It was meaningful. If you do it every week, it doesn't mean anything. But when you say it in that rarest of moment, when it truly matters.
Well, I was just going to say, the way that he delivered it was almost Canadian. Is up here, it's a very Canadian thing to tell your friends or people. Or people that are being dumbasses, get fucked, bud.
Well, and I think you don't bleep it the first time because in the moment on a pay-per-view, you can say it. But that moment is going to be played all the time in this lead up to WrestleMania,
and it won't have the impact that it had live because it'll be bleeped.
Well, it'll have the bleep, but it's still going to be that go beep yourself. And you'll have that moment where it just turns to the Rock's face. And it's like, I can see the production value of just that moment. And yeah, the initial time saying it, most impact, don't bleep it. Every time after that, it's going to have that, like, you know that beep is coming, but you know what was said.
And I love seeing his reaction to hearing go fuck yourself.
So happy, so giddy, all the things.
Running around in the ring and... doing the arm up wave to the crowd to pump them up further.
Then we got the hug.
Got the hug.
And Rock, the look.
Rock takes a few steps back into the corner like, oh, okay. And him and Cena share a look first, and then Cena goes in for the hug, and they're always smiling. And then Rock does a throat cut, and then there's a smile turns to not so smile, and then Cena turns around. Yeah.
Boom!
Right in the nuts, man.
Cody dropped, and the fans lost it.
And we had the you sold out chance.
And you sold out chance, and just Cena beat him down.
Beat him with the fucking Rolex that The Rock gave him.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the man with the gift that The Rock said, don't break my heart. Well.
Here you are.
There you go.
Oh, we're not done.
You're in a
Cody's tears.
Mm-hmm. We had Cody's tears. We had Cody's blood. We had
on
Sage.
Cody's tears.
We had Sage from Travis Scott for...
Oh, yeah, he broke that up with the don't fuck yourself. We're going to clear this ring.
Whatever. And then Rock, Cena hits him with the belt a couple times, busts him open. And then Dwayne lays him with the belt.
Shades of last year.
Shades of last year.
Early last year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there was a line that they tried to get over. White didn't get it. Was like something. It was the Dusty line about the soul. I forget how he put it.
But oh, it didn't the dream hit. Will die.
The dream will die a second time again.
Again,
and it just didn't like. If you knew,
it
you knew.
Didn't land.
It didn't land. But it was a good joke.
The date on
the
belt, it's like, if you knew what was on the belt, if you knew what that was in relation to, it's like, okay, yeah, you know that line. But otherwise, you're just like, okay, the Dream will die again, and you're like, wait, what?
But it, like, it was subtle. It was a good joke that didn't land because it meant, it actually was meaningful. But then he smears the blood on the belt, and then they walk out. Then they have a post show press conference with John Cena.
Oh my god, this was the fucking cherry on top.
So we were watching this live on stream last night as it was happening, and he just drops the mic. It was perfect.
Doesn't say a word. Just very calmly sits down, takes the mic out of the stand, looks at it, puts it parallel, drop, and gets the fuck up and leaves. It's perfect because everyone wants to know what he has to say in that moment, and he's not going to tell you a goddamn thing. And then you had Dwayne go out there in full, you know, just... He wasn't the final boss. He was Dwayne talking about everything that happened.
Yeah, he kind of broke it all down. And tried to stay... not give you everything. He tried
not give you everything, but you also realize how much of this is John, which I thought is interesting.
Yeah.
That it's... And they said essentially, like, do you think John's a healer or face? Or I'm sorry, do you think... They asked Dwayne, like, do you think you're a healer or face? And he's kind of like, I'm whatever. But I liked that they mentioned someone of like, oh, do you think he's going to wear jorts to WrestleMania? Because that was a joke I made. Well, he sold out. He's not going to come out in the jorts and the bright shirt. And Rock said essentially, or, you know, Dwayne said essentially, like, no, I think he's going to do exactly the same thing, but in his own way now.
And then there was Watch him bring back the Doctor of Thugonomics.
No. So he did an interview with Chris Van Vliet. I don't know when, but it was very within the last year. And he broke down the scenario of him going heel that was going to happen in 2012. Like, he had a singlet made and he had wrestling boots, and like, he was going to do the whole, he was going to change the look, give up the Make-A-Wish, all the things, give up all the merch. And whatever. He also had new music made. That he was, if it ever saw the light of day, he was going to change to trumpets. Because I forget what the other instrument was that was in it, but he wants to change it to trumpets. So he has everything made, and that was 13 years ago. He was ready to do it. Saxophone, yeah. He wants to change the saxophone to trumpet, to change it back or something. And, yeah.
Yeah, because I saw there were people online that were just like, he can't come out to the trumpets anymore.
No, he can come back to a different version, and if he has it, go for it.
Well, and we talked about this last night. I'm really excited to see what a corporate or what a, like, slightly toned version of John Cena is going to be like for this, because he's essentially just become everything he hates. Everything that he preached about of, like, you know, being a part-timer, selling out and going to Hollywood, you know, making movies rather than being in the ring. And you brought this up, Rock, where he's like, I get it now. All that stuff I talked to, you know, The Rock about, I get it. I didn't understand then.
Get it now.
And I get it now. And so I told Rock, I want there to be a moment where John Cena is live via satellite to Cody to go full circle of, like, I'm not going to be there. I'm off filming a movie. I get you at WrestleMania. I don't have to show up. Or if I do, you'll be the last to know. I want to see this dark version of Cena now.
And we're going to have to wait for it. So,
yeah. He's not going to be there tomorrow. He's not going to be there next week. Or if he is, it's a tape segment.
I think the European shows are his first shows, which is 2 weeks. Till we hear from him.
Well, and there was one really interesting thing. So if we go back, and I know that they did stuff loose because you didn't know what kind of involvement Dwayne was going to have. But if you go back to Bad Blood, he did the throat slit, right? How many fingers did he hold up?
3.
Last night, how many fingers did he hold up?
I don't remember how many.
2. He did the throat slit, and he had 2 fingers up when he pointed to John. Is this a countdown? Is this something that we don't, you know, because they said this is a full story. There's a lot of stuff that's in the works or that's coming through the pipeline. But it was one thing that I just happened to notice, because originally when Rock was there with Roman and Cody and Jimmy in the ring, it was the three, and we thought, oh, maybe he's pointing out that there's three of them. But last night there was the two fingers. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, is there something more to this?
So people then pointed out the three also looks like John Cena's three, his hand symbol.
Hmm. There's a lot of different things you can do with this.
A lot of different things, yeah. So they did a fantastic job of telling the story, and like Triple H mentioned last night, he could have did the nostalgia or go out on his shield doing something different. He chose different.
Well, and I messaged you this earlier. For all of us growing up, Bash at the Beach, 96, was the biggest turn we had ever seen. Because mm-hmm. you never thought Hulk Hogan was going to turn, but he did. This is the new generation's version of it.
A paler version of it. But they didn't telegraph Hogan turning. They telegraphed this one. They shouldn't have telegraphed it.
They telegraphed it a bit, but here's the thing. John Cena, for the longest time, had all, you know, the belief was he's never going to turn heel. He's always going to be the White Knight. And yet mm-hmm. last night we saw him, you know, turn on the biggest babyface in the company right now, and then basically walked out of the arena without saying a goddamn word. We saw Superman turn last night.
Sure did.
Even if it was telegraphed, that is still a huge thing.
Superman 3 when he's exposed to that fake kryptonite.
They did a fantastic way to end Elimination Chamber.
It was mm-hmm. good. It was a very entertaining show last night.
And I will just say, MVP for the last day now has to be R-Truth.
Oh, his social media all over. Why, John?
No, just, it never happened. You guys are, you know, hey, give it time, guys. You don't know what's going on. And AI, then, yeah, just like, recently.
AI generated it.
AI generated. Just, god damn it. The man, you know, Ron Killings is, what, in his 50s now?
Mm-hmm.
The man should not be this fucking entertaining. But, dear god, he always finds a way. Whether it's calling Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano DX and fully believing it, or bringing a ladder out for the Royal Rumble, or I'm sorry, calling for a hot tag at the Royal Rumble.
He knows.
Being part of the goddamn Judgment Day, Dom and Nick Mysterio, he should not be this fucking funny, and yet he consistently is.
Why should he not be this funny? You alluded to the fact that he shouldn't be funny because he's 50. Fuck you.
No, not the fact. No, but I'm just saying, like, he's been in this business for so long. The longevity is hit there, and it's not necessarily because of his wrestling ability. It's because he's finding ways to be so goddamn entertaining. And it's just, you look at what he does, and you're like, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but it's fucking hysterical.
No, he's keeping his ass relevant.
Indeed. Yeah.
So with that, Brent, housekeeping.
All right, housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
So we have 11 entries.
Oh,
I double checked. We have 11 entries, and fuck you, Facebook, because I'm not getting notifications, even though I set to get notifications. And Rock, thank you for notifying me about the one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got it after the fact. We have 12 entries. So tied for place, going 2-3, so under 500. Are inanimate objects, the 8-ball and the wheel.
Okay.
Tied for 5th place, going 3-2, myself, Subway, Rob, Tommy C, Sarah, and Sheila. Tied for 2nd place, going 4-1, Tim, Casey, and Lindsay. And going 5-0, in 1st place is Rock.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, don't gloat.
Oh, thank you.
I will say, everyone picked that Cody would not sell out, except for the 8-ball.
Stupid 8-ball.
Everyone else was like, he's not selling out, he's not gonna do it. The 8-ball went, yep. Whoops.
That's our show.
That's it for tonight, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed Elimination Chamber as much as we did, and hope that you enjoyed our review of it. Thanks, Yep, once again tomorrow night, immediately following Raw with Post Show.
This is the Raw Post Show. Whenever Monday Night Raw ends, we are live with the Raw Post Show. Roughly 10:30.
Hey! Did you go on stream last night with Lindsay?
Me, Brent, and Lindsay went on live just to talk about the Cena turn. We haven't done a full review, which we're going to do Thursday on the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah. And, of course, next Saturday, it's a return to our regularly scheduled programming of WTR, Saturday Night Live, better known as CB Radio.
Rock, are we doing a show next week?
Okay, so Tim really screwed up whatever he was trying to do. Saturday, 11:30 p.m., another edition of CB Radio Live. So there's that. We also did the CB Radio last night, too, so it wasn't... Anyway, did a lot of things. Next Sunday, where we're going to next, we're not live, because there's an AEW pay-per-view. So...
Revolution, live from Los Angeles.
We're going to watch that and maybe do a review on Monday. We'll see about the review.
We'll see what happens.
I might actually get a chance to find Revolution on a pay-per-view channel on the new provider that we have with TV boxes. So
they'll
be able to finally be able to watch it.
So we'll be watching AEW next Sunday. So we're back in 2 weeks for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. This is where I'm quickly loading up a thing just to tell you what we're going to be doing in 2 weeks, because it's already on the schedule, I believe, what we're doing in 2 weeks. Which means you follow us at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter to keep all up to date. And in 2 weeks, we're doing a tier list of all 40 WrestleManias. So that's in 2 weeks on WTR Sunday night. Tim's on social.
I am. Follow me at Flames Forums and at Tim's_toolbox on X. You'll Brent. Be glad you did.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter/X, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, Threads, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. I'm at one of those. And then you can find me Saturday nights doing the Intern's Corner and trying to make sense of certain things. As we pointed out, this week in wrestling history is going to have a very notable thing for next year this time.
It really, really will. Also, there will be a Rack Extra Reviews coming on Tuesday, so check that out as well. Chat, and reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel, by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit card box stock in the Fortnite item shop. Because hashtag epic partner. Send this home, Tim.
Well, that's it. That's all, folks. We'll be back in 2 weeks. That being said, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here because the bar is closed.
Gonna get up, or are they gonna keep you?
WildTalkRadio.com.